You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 71st episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at ItalianoCalcio. Check the link in my Twitter bio for all the links that you need to help and support my podcast. So we will start off the 71st episode of the podcast by talking about the Scudetto race. Where else is there to begin? Milan took care of business against Atalanta a bit earlier on Sunday. Meanwhile, Inter taking care of business against Cagliari in Sardinia. No surprise, both teams win. I guess I shouldn't say no surprise. Inter beating Cagliari is no surprise. But, you know, Milan definitely faced a tough opponent in Atalanta, a team that is battling for a place in Europe, preferably the Europa League if they obviously had their choice. But I said it on the podcast last time, right? Milan had the point advantage over Inter. Inter had the schedule favored. Inter had a lighter final three games at the time when I recorded that episode. Milan had the tougher three games. This was going to be a big test for them playing Atalanta. And Atalanta in that first half did create some chances. It was 0-0 at the first half, but Milan responded in the second half and took that game by the throat and beat Atalanta thanks to goals from Rafael Leao, who's been enormous for, you know, the Rossoneri this season. And if they go on to win the Scudetto and close this out next week in the final round of the season, he will undoubtedly be one of the heroes. He, Sandro Tonali, Mike Maignan, Teo Hernandez, have been so many unsung heroes for this Rossoneri team that have paved this way for them to have this opportunity to win their first Scudetto in some time. But Rafael Leao, the emergence of him, is one of the key reasons why. And then it was also an unbelievable, just if you have not seen it, go to Twitter, check it out, the goal by Teo Hernandez, the run he made from, I think it started beyond midfield, and he crossed over the midfield line and just kept dancing around defenders, weaving in and out of them. Not to take anything away from Teo Hernandez, it was an unbelievable run. He still had to make a pretty good shot to finish that shot off and beat Juan Musso, but the Atalanta defensively really was almost like Swiss cheese defense. There were so many holes in it, but not to take anything away from Teo Hernandez, definitely check that out on Twitter if you have not seen that goal. But Milan take care of business, Inter take care of business. From a neutral standpoint, this is what we all want, right? If your team's not going to win the Scudetto, if you don't have a dog in the Scudetto race heading into that final round, this is what you want, where it all comes down to one final round. Inter have work to do. They need Milan to slip up, because all Milan need in that final round against game against Sassuolo is a draw. Sassuolo, we know, could be a tricky team at times. They're very up and down, very erratic. You think about just a few rounds ago, the absolute goose egg they laid against Napoli, getting smacked 6-1, but then they show up and absolutely look like a team that could have or should have competed for, you know, Europa League spot under Dionisi. So it'll be, you know, interesting to see what Sassuolo team shows up. It will be, you know, their final game. The game is at home for Sassuolo, so they'll have the fans and the support behind them. I'm sure the Milan fans will absolutely flock there to make their presence and noise and voices heard and cheer on the Rossoneri in hopes of them clinching the Scudetto. Milan just need one point, but I don't see Milan going out there and taking it easy. Not easy, but playing it safe, I should say, and looking to avoid a mistake and playing content for the draw. That's not how Milan got to this point where they have the ability to close it out and win the Scudetto. They're going to take the game to the opposition and try to take all 3 points against Sassuolo. They don't want to leave anything up to fate. I don't see them sitting back and playing easy for the draw. You know, always with these final games, when a team has nothing to play for like Sassuolo, you don't know what kind of efforts they're going to be given, what the players will put out there. But you hope, again, from a neutral standpoint, certainly if you're an Inter fan, you definitely hope that Sassuolo come out and put the right foot forward and play this game as hard as they would any other game this season if they were in the position to win a Scudetto. Because, you know, just for the integrity of the game, the season, the Scudetto trophy and everything, you want to see a fair game, if you will. I'm not suggesting anything funny by any means. I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression. But teams that are out of it are known to mentally check out and go on vacation. And it looked like, again, when Sassuolo lost 6-1 to Napoli a few weeks back, that Sassuolo checked out a little earlier than most teams are willing to. But that'll be interesting. Inter, they will play Sampdoria at the San Siro. Sampdoria, certainly not at the level of Sassuolo. They don't possess the same talent and haven't had the same success that Sassuolo has had this season. But Sampdoria are definitely a tricky team themselves. They have some veterans, guys like Candreva, guys like Francesco Caputo, Fabio Quagliarella. There's talent there. Keep in mind that they did draw 2-2 in that first matchup this season back in September. Of course, that game was in Genoa. A lot has changed for both teams since then, but Sampdoria are not exactly the biggest pushover themselves. So it'll be an interesting final round. Both teams took care of business again in this game, did what they had to do, but the Scudetto race comes down to the final round. Again, from a neutral standpoint, this is what you want. Obviously, if you're a Milan fan, you were hoping that Cagliari could at least get a draw against Inter and clinch a Scudetto now and not have to sweat this one out. Because again, you not knowing what Sassuolo team is going to show up, you know, it is a scary team to have to play. Just like, yeah, obviously, personally, I'd rather be playing Sampdoria than Sassuolo, but neither of those would be like my top choice per se. You'd rather be playing like a lowly Venezia team, you know, perhaps Genoa, although I shouldn't say that because Genoa do have a slight chance at avoiding relegation, albeit they're likely relegated. So sometimes when, you know, the team is backed up against the wall and trying to fight for salvation, staying up in Serie A, they do give a really good effort and put a strong foot forward, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that final round. It will be special, but both Milan teams take care of business. In this round, another game I just wanted to outline also was that Roma-Venezia game. Venezia going down a man. They scored in the opening minute. Okereke providing a stunning goal and absolutely shocked Roma. The Roma fans at the Stadio Olimpico, they shocked me. I just turned the game on and boom, Venezia is already up 1-0. But then they go down a man. They played the majority of that game with 10 men. You're thinking this is a must-win game for Roma. Because keep in mind, Venezia were already relegated. Salernitana had drawn earlier in the day, so that already relegated Venezia. So they literally had nothing to play for. It wasn't even like this game was at home. They'll play their final home game next weekend. So again, these are professionals. They want to always compete. They want to try to win and go out on a high note. But again, Venezia were already relegated, playing at Rome, in Rome against Roma. Roma needing this win, right? Needing 3 points because they want to clinch a Europa League spot. I know they do have the Conference League final coming up, and if they win that game, they will qualify for the Europa League. But you don't want to leave it up to that. You want to give yourself at least two chances here, right? Either finish top six in Serie A, and then you also have the Conference League final to fall back on. They do draw 1-1. Roma finally got a late goal. They absolutely put an onslaught on that Venezia goal. Vicario played a heck of his game. He stood on his head, mate. Unbelievable save after save. You could look at it and say Roma were a bit unlucky, and you got to give Vicario some credit for the effort he put forward in goal. But still, Roma playing against a 10-man Venezia, relegated 10-man Venezia side for the majority of that game. At home, you got to put a better foot forward. It was a disappointing result if you are a Roma fan for sure. And again, your chances of qualifying for the Europa League are dwindling a little bit. You do have two avenues, as I said. Finish top six is still in sight, especially with Atalanta losing to Milan this round. You have the Conference League final, so you got that again as a possibility to fall back on. But I tell you what, if this Roma team finishes outside the top six, doesn't qualify for the Europa League, or even if they qualify for the Europa League through winning the Conference League, but they finish outside the top six. I know there's a lot of quality in Serie A, and I'm one that always builds it up. You know, the likes of Lazio and Atalanta and Fiorentina really had a big improvement under Vincenzo Italiano, as I say time after time. So there's a lot of good teams in Serie A in that middle of the pack. You know, certainly Milan, Inter, Napoli, those are your top teams this season. Juventus are right there. But then, you know, you have a kind of a mix between Lazio, Roma, Atalanta, and Fiorentina. They've all been in the mix. It's very tight right now in that Europa League, Conference League battle between those teams. But for Roma to potentially finish outside the top eight, that would be finish outside the top six, I should say. I think that's a bad season for Roma under Jose Mourinho, and a disappointment, and not what the Fried King group certainly expected when they brought in Jose Mourinho, what the fans thought, what the team thought, especially bringing in the likes of guys like Tammy Abraham, Rui Patricio. They've made some pretty good signings. They really had some bright moments. They were just far too inconsistent this season, but that was another game that really stood out to me. The fact that Roma could not beat a 10-man Venezia team. Credit to Venezia, right? They knew they were going down to Serie B, but they did not care. They showed up in Rome. They went toe-to-toe with the Giallorossi with only 10-man. And came away with a draw. So, you know, they gave their fans a little something to hang their hat on, even though they are heading down to Serie B. Another topic I wanted to quickly touch upon was Napoli's 3-0 win over Genoa at the Stadio Diego Maradona. Why was this game obviously significant? For a few reasons. Obviously, Genoa now, after this loss, are staring relegation down to Serie B in the face. Venezia already have been relegated this weekend, so Genoa set to join them as well. But the main thing for this game, at least from a Napoli standpoint, was the significance of it, was that it was Lorenzo Insigne's final game at home. We all know he is set to join Toronto FC in the MLS and leave his beloved Napoli club. It was great to see, you know, the celebration and the fanfare before the game and the standing ovation he got when he was announced by the PA announcer and the little ceremony, you know, De Laurentiis and Insigne's family and teammates all celebrating and honoring him with some gifts and pictures and whatnot. So it was a really nice moment to see that. And I know Insigne definitely had to appreciate that, and that meant a lot to him. He is, again, off to Toronto FC, but also, you know, he got to cap off his final game at home in Napoli with his beloved team with a win. And he also was able to score a second-half goal on a penalty. But, you know, he had a very good career with Napoli. He certainly had left his mark. He had a lot of pressure coming into it, right? Being from Naples, being a hometown kid, being a kid who grew up a Napoli fan, idolizing Diego Maradona, bleeding, you know, that blue, that azzurri color for the Napoli. And you know, he felt every win, every loss, every heartbreak, every joy that, you know, the fans felt. He felt it just as much as them because, again, he was a fan first, and then he had to, you know, play with that weight of being that hometown kid. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, we've seen, you know, players like Francesco Totti excel at it. We've seen players like Daniele De Rossi excel at it, you know, for playing for Roma, for their hometown team. And there's been other players certainly that have done it in the past. But I think Lorenzo Insigne wore that Napoli shirt and represented the Neapolitans and that Napoli club very proud over his long career with the club. It's sad that it has to come to an end. Certainly, you know, he's still young enough and still talented enough to certainly contribute towards this to this team, and with them heading into the Champions League, that's a nice little parting gift that he will leave his teammates and the fans there. But, you know, it would have been nice to see him stay and certainly, you know, help them win that Scudetto. They were very close this season. I know they've been out of it now for a couple of rounds, but they were there. They were in first place for a good chunk of the season. They were right there. They had that slip up against Roma, allowing the El Shaarawy goal. They had that horrible collapse against Empoli. Those two things don't happen, and they're right there with Milan and Inter battling for the Scudetto in these final few rounds. So, you know, he never did win the Scudetto like his idol Maradona did, and certainly that will, I don't want to say haunt him, but it'll be something he maybe thinks about, the joy that it would have been to win one. But he did win titles with Napoli, so he did bring back some trophies to his hometown. So Napoli fans forever will be grateful for him. I know there was always fans' mixed feelings about him. And again, part of that was because of the pressure of being from Naples and the fans just putting so much pressure on him and so many expectations on him. But again, he got this team close a few times to winning a Scudetto. You know, they almost gunned down Juve a few seasons ago. They were battling with the two Milan-based clubs this season for the better part of this season. But overall, positive career with Insigne. I wish him nothing but the best as he moves over to the MLS. Again, personally, sad to see him go. Would love to see him continue to play in Serie A and compete with Napoli and you know, see if, you know, this team could take that next step next season and compete for that Scudetto, see what they could do in the Champions League. I kind of touched upon it on my podcast last episode that, you know, we could see a bit of a significant change in the attack for Napoli. I do think Osimhen will return, but, you know, there's always going to be those rumors linking him to the Premier League. And who knows if one crazy team out there strikes out on a player that they want to bolster their attack, they may throw crazy money towards De Laurentiis and perhaps he'll certainly jump at that. Not that he needs to for financial reasons, but, you know, so you make an offer, you know, no pun intended, you make him an offer he can't refuse. Perhaps they do it. Chucky Lozano, his future certainly up in the air. I do think Mertens will return, but Petagna could be on his way out. So, you know, there's certainly going to be some changes to this Napoli team, no doubt about it, throughout the whole roster, but particularly in that attack, and Insigne leaving is certainly one of the changes that will take place. But I just wanted to, you know, pay a little respect to Insigne. Great career with Napoli. Won trophies, did them proud, scored plenty of goals, big goals. Again, I was never one of those people that bashed him and felt that he was, you know, disappointment. Again, players can't always come through in every moment, right? It's just not possible. All the greats in any sport failed at times. You know, Michael Jordan had some failures. Kobe Bryant had failures. All the big-time players. Tom Brady lost Super Bowls, right? No one is perfect. And Signe certainly is not perfect, but I think he did have a great career with Napoli. It was nice to see him, you know, in his final home game with them, win that game, score a goal. It was certainly a special day for him and for those Napoli fans to celebrate their hometown hero. One final topic I wanted to touch upon in this opening segment was going back just to earlier this week, Inter's Coppa Italia victory over Juventus. This game had plenty of controversy with the penalties Inter were awarded in the second half. And, you know, it seems as often in these big games, there's always going to be controversy, especially when it's these, you know, Juve versus Inter, Milan, Inter, these big, big games. There's always going to be, you know, extra microscopes on this game. A lot of sideline pundits, if you will, people at home on Twitter and social media weighing in and certainly coming at it from biased views, right, depending on which team you support. But however, you know, I look at this game and Inter were the better team. They have been all season, whether it was Coppa Italia, whether it was Serie A. Inter were certainly the better team over Juventus. And I felt that they were deserving of this win just from the way they played in this game, but also from an overall season standpoint. Inter did have a one-goal lead heading into the half, but, you know, Juventus absolutely punched them in the face with two quick goals in that second half. And you kind of thought, you know, is Juve going to steal this Coppa Italia trophy? How is Inter going to respond from this? But give Simone Inzaghi and his guys credit. They absolutely fought back and emerged victorious in extra time. Now, Inter did, you know, they already won the Italian Super Cup over Juventus earlier this season. So, you know, winning this trophy over them as well, you know, obviously feels good for the players, obviously feels good for the families. Anytime they could beat, you know, one of their bitter rivals, Juventus, it's certainly going to go a long way in the memories of the fans and of the players that wear that Nerazzurri shirt. For Juventus, this will be their first season since the 2010-2011 season without winning a single trophy. So certainly a disappointment for Bianconeri fans. You look at this team and you know, they just lack an identity. They don't seem to have a clear game plan. Allegri was certainly brought back this season for Juventus to help get them back on top, help them catch Inter and hopefully win the Scudetto. That was certainly the plan. But that was not the case. They did not really take a step forward under the season they had last year with Andrea Pirlo. Now, I have been very critical of Andrea Pirlo. I should say I was very critical of Andrea Pirlo on this podcast all last season. I never felt he was the right hire. I felt he was in over his head. And while he was not the sole reason for Juventus's lackluster season and fourth place finish, I thought he was the main reason. I certainly the players are the ones that go out there. They're the ones that execute. They're the ones that have to defend. They're the ones that got to make those key passes, score those goals. But I did think Pirlo was the key reason. And you look at what Juventus did this season and what they've done under Allegri, who, again, was expected to come in, elevate this team. I thought he would elevate them to Scudetto contenders. And you could certainly argue that they're having a worse season. I mean, from you know, you could look at a bunch of statistics, points, goals scored, goals conceded. Obviously, going without a trophy, Pirlo did win a trophy last season. So, you know, perhaps Pirlo wasn't as bad of a coach last season as a lot of us painted him as. Certainly, you know, I'm guilty of it as well, really being heavily critical on him. I do think this team and the players obviously deserve a lot of blame. As I said, you can't put it all solely on Max Allegri, but he is the one who kind of gives the players the game plan, who kind of, you know, outlays the tactics, the game plan, how they're going to attack the game, attack the opposition, what in-game changes do they make, substitutions, this and that. So Allegri obviously has to get blame. Everybody has to get blame when a team is not living up to expectations. But, you know, you just look at the season that they're having and you just wonder, you know, could Pirlo actually turn out to be a good coach? And to say that he wouldn't be a good coach after just that one season with Juventus wouldn't be fair to Pirlo at all. But, you know, I put a lot of the blame on him. And as I said, he certainly deserves some of the blame for what happened last season at Juventus. But, you know, you just wonder how much of it actually was his fault. And is it just this team doesn't have a clear identity? This team just doesn't have that camaraderie, whatever the case would be. There's certainly a lot of old-time players there with Chiellini and, you know, Buffon was there last year. But with Chiellini and Bonucci and guys like that that have been there, done that, Paulo Dybala, I know they brought back Morata, but there just seems to be something missing with this team, some clear identity that they need to work on. They did lose Federico Chiesa, for most of this season, so that did not help. We all know what a superb talent he is. They'll get him back next season, and if he can stay healthy, I do think he will certainly contribute towards this team being better and creating chances, scoring goals, opening things up for guys like Vlahovic and whatnot. But, you know, this team did disappoint, and I just wanted to give a shout out to Inter on their Coppa Italia victory. So kudos to them on winning that trophy. Two trophies for them this season. Simone Inzaghi, you know, has done a good job with this team in his first year, replacing, you know, Antonio Conte, who we all know what a special coach he is. His track record speaks for itself, and the trophies he's won, the job he's done, taking a team in a short amount of time and elevating them to title contenders. But Simone Inzaghi deserves credit for this win in Coppa Italia. Those players deserve credit. They were definitely the better team over Juventus, in my opinion, in that game and all season long, and were deserving of winning the Coppa Italia trophy. All right, now on to buy or sell to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media in the world of football. Buy it or sell it number one. Romelu Lukaku would sign with another Serie A team if his return to Inter isn't possible. This is a tough one, but I will buy this one. Reluctantly, I will buy this. We all know Lukaku, if he had his choice where he could play next season, he would love a return to Inter this summer. But I don't know if it's going to happen. It's certainly a possibility. It's been floated out there. We'll see what happens. But you do hear Gianluca Scamacca. Now even, you know, Duvan Zapata's name has been kind of linked to Inter as an alternative. Those seem to be the top two strikers being linked to Inter at this time. But a lot could change. We're only in the middle of May. Things change in a hurry when it comes to the mercato and these transfer rumors. So we'll see what happens. So I do buy this one, because if Lukaku so desperately wants to leave Chelsea, and it seems like he does, barring a coaching change or barring, you know, discussion between he and Thomas Tuchel to iron things out, iron the differences out, it does seem like he would like to leave the club. He would love to return to Italy, and the possibility of returning to Inter perhaps is not there. I do think, you know, in a moment of absolute desperation to leave Chelsea, he would consider joining another Serie A team other than Inter. Lukaku has, you know, tremendous amount of respect for his former teammates, the friends he's made at that club, the ownership, the management, the staff, everyone who's involved with that club, he has a tremendous amount of respect for, and that would be his top choice. But again, I think if he is desperate to leave Chelsea and he did want to return to Italy and another team could afford him, I could see him perhaps accepting that move. As much as it may hurt him and as much as he may not want to do that to the Inter supporters, he could do that. You know, Milan have been linked to him a little bit in some rumors. You read them being linked to him. We know Milan desperately need a striker this summer, especially if they want to, you know, continue to challenge for the Scudetto next season and certainly make their mark in the Champions League next season. He's a proven striker in Italy. He's a proven winner in Italy. We know the type of style he plays and how he could elevate the players around him. Could you imagine a Milan attack with Rafael Leao and guys like Sandro Tonali feeding him the ball, and maybe Junior Macias and whoever else Pioli decides to deploy up front with him? It would be a heck of a team to watch, and one that, you know, I think, you know, the mentality, the leadership that Lukaku brings. I know they already have Zlatan and they have Olivier Giroud, who are both great leaders, but Lukaku also brings something else to the table, and he certainly could have a big impact and big influence on some of these young Milan players. So that rumor's been floated out there. Now that seems like the hardest one to really see Lukaku accepting, right? To go right to the bitter rivals of Inter, the city rivals of Inter. But that seems like the team that would most likely make a play at him. The only other team really financially that could afford it would be Juventus. And we all know that they really wanted Lukaku prior to him joining Inter a few seasons back. And this, you know, Juventus team, as I kind of mentioned earlier, they need some talent. They need some help with their identity and something. But we know they already signed Vlahovic from Fiorentina back in January. That cost them a lot of money. So, you know, whether or not they would actually be looking to bring in Lukaku too, that remains to be seen. We know Dybala's leaving. Alvaro Morata's future certainly much up in the air, as is Moise Keane. So, you know, Juventus could be looking to add depth up front, but I don't know if they would go after Lukaku and consider some sort of pairing of he and Vlahovic. So we'll see what happens there. You know, again, just like I mentioned, that Milan tech with Lukaku could be special, you know, depending on tactically how Allegri, or, you know, if for whoever's the coach, if for some reason Allegri wasn't set to return this summer to Juventus, you know, some combination of Chiesa, Vlahovic, Romelu Lukaku in attack for Juve, that could be special. But again, do I think in the end that Lukaku would sign with another Serie A team? No, I don't think it would happen. I think Inter is undoubtedly his top choice. But again, in a moment of desperation, there's no telling what a person would do. And if he so badly wants out of Inter, out of Chelsea, and returning to Inter is not a possibility, and the best opportunity for him is to return to Serie A, if he wants to return to that league, wants to return to living in Italy, perhaps, just perhaps, he would be willing to accept a move. there's going to be a lot of movement this summer, potentially, you know, in terms of strikers, with Lewandowski wanting to leave Bayern Munich and Barcelona his desired destination. Could a team like Bayern Munich try to sign Romelu Lukaku? So there's a lot of what ifs right now, but you know, I could see it out of desperation, him willing to return to Serie A with the team not named Inter. Number two, buy or sell it. Paulo Dybala will end up with the Nerazzurri. I will buy this one. All the main headlines, the main media outlets in Italy are heavily reporting that Inter are the favorites to sign Paulo Dybala. Dybala actually just recently posted on Twitter confirming that, you know, this was his final game with Juventus this round. He's not returning to Juventus, something we all knew at this point, but it's now out there in the open. It's official from Dybala. And I do think Inter are his top choice. He would be going to a title contender, a team that's in the Champions League. So all things that appeal to him. Again, you could argue Inter are closer to winning that Scudetto than Juventus are. Both teams are competing in the Champions League, but Inter are a step up domestically. At least, you know, projecting what next season would be like, you would assume Inter would be favored over Juventus, barring what happens in the Mercato. You know, from a cultural standpoint, you know, he has fellow countrymen like Lautaro Martinez, Joaquin Correa to play with in attack. So maybe that's something that appeals to Paulo Dybala. For all we know, he's been talking a lot to those players. It sounds like he would like to stay in Italy. That's his top choice. I know there's been interest from La Liga teams, in the Premier League certainly as well. Arsenal, there's been a few out there. But it does seem like his top choice is to stay in Italy. Inter presenting with that opportunity, as I said, to compete for Scudetto, to compete in the Champions League. The other team that's been most heavily linked to him are Roma. How serious of a shot do they have? I don't know. We know from the Italian media, Jose Mourinho really is pushing hard for him. But again, he would be accepting a team that is not as close to competing for Scudetto. Now, he could help elevate them, and we could see what other moves Roma make in the offseason. And year two under Jose Mourinho, what kind of step up they can make. You would hope, certainly, if you're a Giallorossi fan, that the team would make a big improvement from this season, where they could potentially finish as low as eighth, which is just not acceptable for Roma, especially with the expectations they had coming into this season. You know, pairing him with Tammy Abraham in attack could be a special combination, but again, he would be taking a step down in terms of being able to compete for Scudetto. There'd be no Champions League football. You know, wherever Roma ends up, whether it's Conference League, Europa League, it's certainly a big step down from the Champions League, where Dybala wants to be playing and wants to make his mark and you know, try to solidify himself as one of the best players in the world right now. So I do think Inter are the clear-cut favorites, assuming that Dybala wants to stay in Italy, which all indications point towards that. If you remember when he left Palermo a couple years back before he signed with Juventus, there was interest from so many teams all over the world, all over Europe, wanting Dybala, and who wouldn't want that special talent? His top choice was always to join Juventus. He wanted to stay not only in Italy, but with Juve. I think he does love living in Italy, and that's undoubtedly his top choice. To stay there, and that's what I think makes Inter the favorites at the end of the day. So that will do it for the 71st episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That'd be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. Feel free to share the word of the Calcio Corner podcast with friends, family members that you think would enjoy a Calcio-centric podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.